Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 9 through chapter 10, where we see that our salvation has nothing to do with our merit, and God doesn't bless us just because we are so holy or worthy. It is simply due to His sovereignty and grace. All we need to do is receive and believe. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 9.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. We're continuing our journey here through God's Word, and we are in the second sermon, if you will, from Moses to the new generation of Israel as they ready themselves in less than a month to go into the Promised Land, where we are here in this text. Remember, I've shared with you each week, Deuteronomy essentially is comprised of some five sermons that Moses gives to the nation of Israel, this people that God has brought about to bring the Messiah into the world. We begin with very weighty words in the opening verse here of Deuteronomy 9. We read, "Hear, O Israel." And that's what our faith is all about. It's about hearing the word of the Lord. This here is speaking about, it's an attitude of the heart to lean towards, to hearken. It's vastly different than the gods of this world in the way that people worship them. They worship the gods of this world based on sight. The nation of Israel, they can't see their God, but they can hear from their God. And that is how they are to respond to him in their worship, by obeying his word. This is an obedience word. It's used some, 50, 60 times in this book. It's a very important word. And he's calling here this nation, this group of people that are elect by God to hear the word of the Lord. And so he says, "Hear, O Israel." And if I could tonight, let's personalize this. "Hear, O Calvary Chapel Westside. O hear, every individual that's in the midst tonight." Listen, you've come to church because you want to hear from Jesus. That's got to be why you're here tonight. And every time you come to a Bible study, every time you do your devotions, it's not because you're religious. It's not because you're doing a routine or you're being ritualistic in your faith. It's got to be because you are coming expectantly with great anticipation to hear from the voice of your Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. This is how your faith is going to grow. This is how it's going to blossom and develop and mature you in your walk with Jesus. So you take this personally tonight. Hear, O Israel, but hear individual. Hear Dave Tomasa. Listen to the word of the Lord. You are to pass over the Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims who you knowest and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? You understand here in these opening verses, God's like, you guys are going into a land where without me, you'd get your butts whooped. Without me, you would never have a chance. I think that our God likes challenges in our minds. I think that the Lord likes to sort of be given an opportunity to show his might and his glory to his people if we would just give him the chance to. He's been ministering that theme to my heart lately. Dave, I want you to do things personally, but also leading the church corporately, that you in your own strength, you in your own ingenuity and ability, you can never do. But I want you to do it when I tell you to do it so that I can show you my glory in a greater way, and I can show the body my glory. Jesus wants to show us what he's able to do. And many of times at the onset of whatever it is he's calling us to, we say, no way, this is impossible. I mean, listen to this introduction here. Moses, like, hey, guys, we're about to go into a land. People are way taller than you are. People are more stronger than you are. They're better warriors than you are. They have more equipment than you do. They have walls that fortify their cities that go to the heavens, things that you've never seen in Egypt before. But understand, verse 3, therefore this day, this is the game changer. Look what it says here. that the Lord your God is he which goes over before thee. If you're journeying with us through John's gospel on Sundays, that should bear witness to the good shepherd. He goes before you. And every battle that you enter in this life, in this world, Jesus has gone before you. He says to his people of old, and he says to you and I tonight, that he has gone before us. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so that you shall drive them out. So God's going to do the work, and then he's going to give you the victory. You're going to get the victory, but he's going to do the work for you. He's going to drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you. And that's all that he gives us so many times, is his word. You're in a place tonight where you're facing your own giants, whatever they are, whatever it is that represents giants in your life, just impossibilities, whatever you would deem to be an impossibility. And God says, I'm going to send you out victorious, but the only guarantee that you have of all this, the only thing that you're going on is my word. That's all I'm going to give you is my word. Are you going to move? Is it enough? Is it good enough to you? Are you strengthened and encouraged by just my word? Hear, O Calvary Chapel Westside, attitude of the heart. Will you be obedient to the word of the Lord? That's it. But Lord, can you show me a clip of what my victory is going to look like? Can you give me more confirmations? We love that, don't we, in the church? Lord, give me another confirmation that this is you. Lord says, I'm just going to give you this singular word. Will you do it? Will you be obedient? Will you teach the children? Will you help in VBS? Will you take that job that pays less? Will you move closer to the church that you can be more involved? Will you break up from that guy or that gal that's hindering you in your walk? And trust me, I'm going to bring you a better spouse one day. Will you do it? But Lord, how do I know? You don't. Do you believe me? Well, I'm convicted. Speak not, it says in verse 4, thou in thine heart. Lord knows that we do that so many times. We murmur in our hearts, don't we? We talk to ourselves. The Lord's like, listen, I gave you this word. Now don't start speaking in your heart after that the Lord your God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out from before thee. It's not because of your righteousness, verse 5, or the uprightness of your heart, that I give you the ability to go and possess their land. But again, for their wickedness of these nations, it says, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before you, and that he might perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So understand, God says, let's make this clear here, that the Lord thy God gives thee not this good land to possess it for your righteousness, because you are just a stiff-necked person. You're just stiff-necked. This has nothing to do with you. It's just, are you willing to be obedient? I don't bless my people because they're worthy of blessings. I don't bless you because your good works outweighed your bad works. I don't bless you because you're so holy. Instead of going to your house tonight and doing landscape work or cutting your lawn or watching TV, you came to church. So now I deem you to be more worthy of blessings than the carnal Christian. God says, it has nothing to do with you and your righteousness. It simply has to do with me and my sovereignty and you obeying my word. Careful is what he's saying here. When you're in a place of being blessed, don't start saying, well, of course I'm being blessed. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I did what God asked me to do. He owes me. God's saying, be careful of that. Don't start being pompous and arrogant in your walk with Jesus. It has nothing to do with you. It's simply because he is a good God. You are a stiff-necked person. You're stubborn. You're not worthy of anything but hell, and Jesus saved you from hell, and he gives you abundant life as you walk in the Spirit. Humility, it's been said before. Humility is made up of two ingredients, one being honesty and the other being a good memory. Humility is made up of two ingredients, honesty with yourself and a good memory of your past. These things keep us humble, and God is going to sort of take Israel now from verse 7 onward through this chapter down memory lane to remind them of what an unworthy people they are and they were. And he's not doing it to condemn them. He's doing it to keep them low, because when you're low, he lifts you up. When you're down low, when you abase yourself, the only place for you to go is upward. But when you're arrogant and haughty in spirit, if you lift yourself up, the only place for you to go is down. So he's doing this for the benefit of his people. He's going to remind him here, hey, listen, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this thing, but I don't want you to touch the glory or take the credit. And here are all the reasons why. And he's going to take the nation through their history. And certainly as we look at this here, it will relate to us as individuals tonight. The Lord says, I want you to remember, verse 7, and I don't want you to forget that you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the very day, it says, that you did depart out of the land of Egypt. Until you came into this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. It's our story. From the very day that Jesus saved us from our Egypt, from this world, from the very day we've been slipping up and falling up and messing up. Isn't that true? There hasn't been a good day yet in our Christian walk where we haven't failed once, where we haven't thought an impure thought, where we haven't said something stupid, where we haven't gone somewhere we shouldn't be or seeing something we shouldn't see. Isn't that the truth? From the very day that God saved your soul from hell, from your Pharaoh, from your Satan, from your Egypt, from this world, there hasn't been one day yet where you can say, I deserve this. God says, from the very day that I've delivered you, this has been an issue. Remember in Horeb, verse 8, you provoked the Lord to wrath, mainly by idolatry and unbelief, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. And when I have gone up into the mount to receive the tables, Moses speaking in verse 9 of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't drink or eat bread. And the Lord delivered unto me, verse 10, two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount on the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass, verse 11, at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said to me, verse 12, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for your people, I like what the Lord does to Moses, these are your people, which you have brought forth out of Egypt, they have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Notice here the word quickly. It's going to come up again and again in this chapter. They've quickly turned away from the word of the Lord. Are you ever surprised by your behavior? You're at church. You're in worship. You're outside. You're praising God. You're blown away by his majesty, by his handiwork all around you. You're encouraged by his word. And you're home a half hour later and you're in the flesh. You're fighting with your spouse. You're yelling at your kids. You're watching something on TV. The Spirit of God saying, turn the channel. Turn that movie off. It's not good for you. You're on Facebook. You're reading about gossip. You're laughing at so-and-so being mocked. You're looking at pictures on Instagram that defile you. Isn't it amazing? Just quickly after service ends, quickly after walking away. Isn't it crazy how quickly we stumble and fall? Can you at least say, yeah, it is for my sake? Otherwise, I'm going to feel like a loner here tonight. I mean, we blow it, don't we? Time and time and time and time again, we quickly turn from the ways of the Lord. I mean, by Wednesday, it's like, Lord, I am starving for fellowship again. And I work at church. By Wednesday, it's like, Lord, I can't wait to refuel with your people. I can't wait to gather in your house, in your name, to worship you and open your word and have a Bible study. I can't wait to be washed by the water of your word. I can't wait to pray over people and have people pray with me. I can't wait to just be with like-minded people. I'm dirty quickly. And so are you if you're being honest with yourself. Remember, if you're going to stay humble in your walk with Jesus, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of thee, Micah 6:8. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If you're going to be a humble Christian, you've got to have a good memory. And you've got to be honest. This is who I am. This is how I've always been. It has nothing to do with me. We sing that song, now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood. I sing that no matter what my mood is, no matter what I'm thinking about, before we come to that portion of that song of Man of Sorrows, I start smiling. I get lit up inside because I can't believe my debt is paid because I quickly stumble so often. Furthermore, the Lord spoke, verse 13, unto me. And he said, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I might destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you, Moses, a nation mightier and greater than they. Make rights. All right, Lord, let's do this. Moses had this opportunity. Forget Abraham. Forget the covenant. Let's do this thing all over again. And God wasn't really going to do this. He's seeking to draw an intercessor. He's seeking to make this man of God a prayer warrior. It's easy to pray for yourself. Isn't that true? It's easy to cast your cares before God. When you really are developing and growing in your walk with Jesus, when you're really entering spiritual maturity, what you'll find is your prayer life is primarily others. God wants you to pray for people, not just yourself. And he's seeking to draw Moses into a place of being an intercessor. How important it is that God's people, I tell you what, I value so much the intercessory prayer here on Sunday mornings. The people that go in the back room, they're not seen by anybody but God. They're in their prayer closet. And they devote the whole service, whether it be first service or second service, specifically just to pray for me, congregation, that God's Spirit would move. Apart from that type of intercession going on, you could forget about it. Speaking of that, second service, I've been under attack like crazy lately. I feel like I can't break through to the people that are there. I feel just like I can't get in the flow of things. I feel like there's such a thickness of oppression. I feel as though it's just something that God wants to penetrate through the walls that have been built up through carnality and sin and whatever else that's going on. So I ask you that you guys would pray for me specifically during second service. First service, I noticed just this flow, this peace. This is about the last month or so. And then second service, my spirit's grieved the whole time I'm trying to preach. So maybe that would be a confirmation to someone here tonight asking God, God, what could I do to bless the ministry here at Westside? Would you maybe think about joining the intercessory prayer team? And if you say to me, well, there's already 10 people, make it 20. If there's already 20 people, make it 30. Fill up a classroom of people who will pray for God's Spirit to work and penetrate in the hearts of the people that are here, second service. We need to see God move. We want to see Jesus have his way. Session out of Moses. So he tells them here, I'll blot these people out. I'll make you your own nation, Moses. So Moses says, so I turned and I came down from the mount, verse 15. And the mount was burning with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. Behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, and you had made you a molten calf. You had turned aside, here it is again, quickly out of the hand of the way which the Lord has commanded you. And I took, Moses says, the two tables, and I cast them out of my two hands, and I broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. And I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all of your sins which you sin in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid, verse 19, of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry, verse 20, with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also that same time. Remember, Aaron said when Moses called him out, the first high priest. The first high priest of the nation builds. He erects a golden calf to be a representative of Jehovah to the people. Moses comes down. He's like, I've been gone for a little over a month. And what did you do here? You're leading the people into idolatry. Aaron says, I don't know what happened. It jumped out of the fire. The gold jumped out of the fire. It was made this way. I didn't do this. And we don't get told this in the Exodus account, but God wanted to smite him. And Moses interceded for this pastor, this leader. And I took your sin, verse 21, the calf which he had made, and I burnt it in the fire, and I stamped it, and I ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof unto the brook that descended out of the mount. And he continues to recall their history. He says in verse 22, and at Taberah, if you're taking notes, that means burning. And at Massah, remember that means testing. That's the place where they said to God they were thirsty, there was no water. He made the water come out of the rock. And at Kibroth Hattaavah, remember that's the graves of lust where they were complaining they were sick of the manna, remember? We want meat. We miss the lurks and the onions and the spices of Egypt. What is this food that God's providing for us? And he sent quail to them so much so that they glutton themselves that it began to come through their nose. They had just threw up so much of the food that they had begun to eat. That's what lust will do to you. You provoke the Lord to wrath. Likewise, verse 23, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor did you hearken to his voice. Church, you got to hear this tonight. There's a theme that God's seeking to sow here in our hearts. When you don't hear the word of the Lord, when you don't receive a word that God gives you to increase and grow your faith, when you harden your heart, what ends up happening when you harden your heart from disobedience, your heart gets more and more calloused. God speaks a word into your life. You don't obey what that word is because it's too difficult, it's too scary, it's too overwhelming in your own understanding, and you sort of just put it off, you put it on the back burner, you ignore that still small voice, that conviction of God's Spirit. When you do that, every single time that you do that, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And it gets more difficult and more difficult and more difficult to be led by God's Spirit. And if you're not led by God's Spirit, you're led by your flesh. And if you're led by your flesh, you act stupid. And you do stupid things. And you make a mess up of your own life and the lives of people that you're involved with. Every time that you disobey the Lord's word. And by disobeying, I'm speaking of not doing what he tells you to do. I'm not talking about a deliberate disobedience where you say, no, God, I'm not going to do it, but just ignoring him. He's trying to prompt your heart. He's trying to prompt your heart. He's trying to steer you up. He's trying to exhort you into good works and onto a way of deeper waters in your relationship with him. And you say, not this VBS, not that children's church class. Not, I'm not going to move that far from where I live now. I'm not going to take that job. I can't break up with her yet. You keep doing that phony baloney nonsense. You keep that up. Your heart's going to get harder and harder and harder, and it's going to be more. Hear your Lord's voice. If it's voice, it's kind of like, I don't care. Because you don't know what you're missing. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you, Moses says. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said that he's going to destroy you. So I prayed, verse 26, unto the Lord. And I said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which you have redeemed through your greatness, which you have brought forth out of Egypt with your mighty hand. Remember your servants, O Lord, verse 27. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and don't look on the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land where you brought us out to, lest those people say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet, verse 29, they are thy people. Moses gives them back.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.